thinking EMP grenade from a foreign government. And then this happened. I was like, oh no.
Maybe it's just following you. Have you ever thought about that?
Don't say that.
Clarksville will go up. We hear later on the news, Clarksville out, power outage in Clarksville. So currently right now we're not on video stream. I don't even believe the phones have powered back up yet completely. So you're not able to call, but you're able to hear us on the WNSR app still, which is good. You always have that. You always have the WNSR app, so that's fine. So now we're just talking, hanging out, Bruno and Zach style. What were we talking about when the power went out?
I was on a tangent about something about the XFL, and like we were talking about the relationship between like, you know, vets and how I was like, is it important? Is it that important for these young guys? Like what can Julio Jones show you that a coach hasn't been able to show you?
Right.
Like, that's going to save your career. That's going to take you to the net. It's cool. Yeah, but it's not like the biggest deal in the world.
But
it's
also,
it's just a guy in the locker room who drives a nicer car than you. That's about it.
Yeah, just what kills me, though, it's like, how much do the players actually help each other? Just in general, like throughout the season. Would a veteran, just because they're wide receivers, would he help the new wide receiver who would come in?
I will never help you off the clock. If we're in the building and you ask for help, I'll give it to you. But if I'm in the hotel room and I'm watching Love Island, don't interrupt me. Don't interrupt me. Knock on my door if you have some good parlays. Knock on my door if you have a funny joke. Don't knock on it and talk about football. I will kick you out. That's how I roll. That's how most dudes roll. Some of those dudes do live ball. They love ball. They love ball.
Yeah.
Jeez. I do not love ball like that.
I don't blame you, because that is...
I love ball when they pay me and I'm on the clock.
Right. And that's I feel like we've talked about this before, where there's the everyday person. Let's just say a person works the 9-to-5 shifts, whatever it is. They're happy in their life. But when they go home, they're not sitting there talking about their tax job or talking about whatever it is they're doing. Same thing with football. You know, just because they're making the money they are, and just because they're in the public eye that they are as well, people get lost. Like the fan gets lost a little bit in the appreciation of the person, thinking that they that they must be doing it 24/7, because if I were there, I would want to do it 24/7.
No, you wouldn't.
But the grass is always greener on the other side.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't. You would hate it. You would hate it. If you really wanted to do it, you could have done it. You could have gone to kicking camps. Anybody could go to a kicking camp and be a good kicker, maybe, and compete for that spot. But dang, once you're there, that lifestyle sucks. That's why they pay you a lot to do it, baby.
Because it sucks.
That's why they pay you a lot to do it, because it sucks. Those 5 a.m.s, those meetings, it makes me shiver just thinking about them.
You're not. Are you a morning guy?
No, but if you pay me enough, I am. Nope.
I'm not at all.
Yeah.
I'm talking, I am not waking up.
I'm
the
type of morning guy that, like, I was the only one on the road back in Earth City in St. Louis, and like I was just so tired. One day I just smacked the curb so hard it popped my tire. But luckily I live I live a quarter mile from the facility, so it was like I just drove the rest of the way. But
just flopping rubber tires.
It looks ridiculous. That's how much of a morning person I am.
I think people don't have that. They think of it too much, like I said, with the fan approach, where it's they don't do it day in, day out. They see the highlights of it all, which the highlight of it all is them, you know, watching Julio Jones score a touchdown on Sundays, and then they think,
Julio transcended that. He apparently in Atlanta, like, he wasn't a big practicer. Like, he was just like, all right, I'm Julio Jones. I'm not going to practice that much, which is totally fair, dude. That's the dream. So
well, what's funny is that now we're seeing him at OTAs here in Nashville right off the bat.
Yeah, we won't see him at every single practice.
No, I can't imagine. I can't imagine. And you look out there today, AJ Brown was not there.
Yeah,
you know
why do you have to be there?
Well, exactly. Why? What is the point that's going to happen?
OTAs are so dumb.
But people are still gonna try it, though. They're still gonna try it. Let's go ahead and go. I believe we can go to a break now after the power has returned. We are back here on Nashville Sports Radio inside the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios.
Ray Dosky working hard behind the board.
Ray Dosky is working feverishly back there. He actually went back underneath the building and connected all the wires. It blew a big thing. He had to get back there and really get greasy. He did it, though, so we're glad to have him. Let's go ahead and go to a break back after this right here on the Afternoon Stretch.
Hey, this is George Plaster to talk to you about the folks at Shield Law Group. My guess is that some of you are like I have been at some point. You've got debt, and that's holding you back. Maybe you're ready to get back on the right track, buy a house, a car. In general, put bad financial decisions aside. And that's where these folks can really help you. They're local. They're accessible. When you need them, they'll be there for you. And they'll give you a free assessment. The beauty of Shield Law Group, they have a way of negotiating settlements that potentially could save you thousands of dollars and improve your credit rating. And 30 years of experience means they can probably help you. So give them a holler at 615-742-8020. That's 615-742-8020. And ask for my friend, Bill Kaloudis.
Vanderbilt alum and PGA Tour pro Will Gordon and Turner's Heroes are partnering up to host a virtual golf tournament to fund a great cause. The Drive Out Pediatric Cancer Virtual Golf Tournament is focused on connecting golfers nationwide with the united purpose of funding a pediatric cancer research grant at the Monroe Carroll Jr. Children's Hospital at Vanderbilt. The tournament is also partnering with Jack and Barbara Nicholas's Play Yellow Initiative. The virtual tournament will utilize Stableford scoring. You can download the Golf Status app and keep track of your score on the live leaderboard. Every round played will enter your name into a door prize drawing for Callaway clubs, balls, and gear, PGA Tour tickets, and the grand prize of all four 2021 major championship pin flags signed by each winner. Happening June 3rd through July 4th, it's the 2021 Drive Out Pediatric Cancer Virtual Golf Tournament. Log on to playyellow.org or turnersheroes.org for more information and to sign up. With your support, we can drive out pediatric cancer.
We need the forklift over here.
Indeed knows unexpected growth can stretch your business thin.
Okay, those molds need to be adjusted. The shippers are coming at noon, so we got to get this done.
Like at Dennis's plastic startup, to stay flexible, he needs to get started hiring right away.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. And the moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post. Terms and conditions apply.
It's a Bill King Show.
I have this aversion to either the media or anybody else telling people what they ought to be doing with their money. Maybe in this case, it's just me versus the planet Earth. But I'm not going to tell those coaches at Tennessee or any other school, here's what you ought to be doing with your money.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Sports
Radio, WNSR. And welcome back into the afternoon stretch. Bruno Reagan, Zach Williams, Ray Dosky. We're working still to get the video stream back up here on Nashville Sports Radio, so don't you worry. As we had a little bit of a power outage that came across here at the studios, but we're all back here. We're all back, and it's all groovy right now. Bruno, I was in the old text thread, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, but it seems like the deal's coming through. At Brett McMurphy on Twitter says, pending approval, dash, which it will be approved, dash, college football playoff headed to 12 teams. Earliest start would be after 2023 regular season, sources told Stadium. Because of impact of expanded playoff, expect anywhere from 4 to 10 bowls to be eliminated by 2023.
Yeah, I saw Booger was mad because he's like, oh, this is about money and not about the players. Well, I mean, all it is just taking, you're going to cut off a bunch of bowl games and make them valuable. That's really about it. I mean, it's not that big of a deal to me.
Yeah,
I already said my piece yesterday. Like, there's only really three or four national champion caliber teams a year. You know, on the off year, there's five or six. But at least if there's 12, it guarantees all six conference champs and then six at-large bids. And we're going to see some group of five teams get their shot, which, deservedly, UCF those years, they were good. I mean, they took a Joey B LSU down. That would
beat up, they beat Auburn in the Peach Bowl, I believe, or Sugar Bowl, one of the two.
So these are teams that I don't know if they would have won the national championship, but they would have done surprisingly well. So this will take away all All questions and all doubts. But Zach, I know you're not a fan.
I'm a fan. Let me say that. I'm a fan.
I know you're not a fan. I know you're lying.
My problem is the other side of it where officially, by the way, if you want to watch the video, we're back up on video here on Nashville Sports Radio after the apocalypse that hit here in the studio. And if you're just joining us now on the video and you didn't see the Facebook post or Twitter post that went out, we did have a little bit of a power surge that happened here in the neighborhood. The whole neighborhood seemed like went down for a little bit. I can look outside. I see some traffic lights still blinking that they're not fully on. We're talking about the college football playoffs as they've gotten expanded here. I'm a fan for it being expanded. It needed to be expanded. The four was just stupid to me. It's not enough. You're playing one extra game that seemed to be useless. Now it seems like they're actually going to make a real tournament out of it. My problem and my beef with just simply expanding it, where does it end? You know, when are we going to end? Right now.
Ended at 12?
Ends at 12.
I like that.
I like it. Could.
I like 12. 12's good. 12's a good number.
How long? When did they switch from the BCS?
Good question.
When did they switch over from the BCS?
Been because, longer than you think.
I mean, I'm trying to think. I think the last BCS I remember, I had just got 2011?
10 years. I was going to say 10, but I didn't want to look like a dummy because being right is everything.
It really is. Hold on. We're going to see when exactly. I'm trying to remember when they switched over to the BCS or from the BCS, that is. I don't see. We haven't got a year here. 2012. So, yeah, I was about right. It was 2012.
9 years, yeah.
And so 9 years, they go from this to this new format. Another 9 years until they try expanding it further?
Yep.
Or change it all completely?
They might look at changing it completely. I just don't know what other format they would. Maybe the regional format, but you can't play too many football games. Like, it's just not a feasible thing. So,
how many football games in a week do you think a team could play?
One.
It's just one.
Oh my God, one. If I tried to play two, don't even put that. Don't even put that on me. I would go home from games and feel like I got hit by a train. There's no way. No way. You have to go in on Sundays the day after the games and like do like the dumb strength and conditioning stuff where like you stretch out and you move and you stuff. And there were times I would just show up and lay down. And like, I don't care who said anything. Head coach could have walked in. I was laying down on the turf field, just taking a nap. That's what I was doing.
I just wanted, that's my thing. You know, it's
impossible.
Good. It's good that they have expanded it. I'm fine with that. I was on board with expanding it. I'm actually surprised that they, like, it seems like what they did is they kind of cut some years off here a little
bit. They did, yeah.
Where they were like,
instead of going from 8, they just went to 12.
They were just like, look, this is the branch. This is as far as the tree is going to grow. And that's what that's going to be the final say of it all, which, you know, isn't the worst thing. I feel like it's good that if they're really going to leave it here, they need to leave it here. And if that's actually going to come official, which of course it has not came official yet, then I mean, I think it's a good thing. What do you think, Ray? Now that you're finally,
we're back, guys. We're back.
Able to breathe. Huh, buddy? Yeah.
I think it's a good idea. I think if anything's going to generate more money for the schools. Mm-hmm. If you think about it. So, I mean, that's a big deal because for many years, it's always been Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama.
Yeah.
You know? So, it'll be good to see other teams in there.
Well, and, you know, the conference games have always been about money. Or the conference tournaments, that is, have always been about money.
The whole thing's about money.
It's all about money.
Life's about money.
It's true. The further you get deeper into it, you really do realize that. It's unfortunate.
Nah. Well, it is for, obviously, Zach, you're married, but for all my degenerates out there listening, you know it's not all about money. Freedom.
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 You think I'm not free because I've got this silicone band over my left hand?
No, I think it's just a different.
Well, you would have been right had you said the other way. No, I don't believe that. I'm Maggie, if you're listening, I am very happy and I...
Don't kill me.
No, I'm very free. No, she's my best friend, love of my life, so very happy with her. Let's go to the phone lines here. Got Tony in Nolensville. Tony, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, guys? I tell you what, you spoke the right words. You're very happy. Yes, ma'am, and very happy. It always works.
Exactly. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, guys. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, what's going on? How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm sitting on my porch here in Nolensville. Got a nice adult beverage, smoking me a good brick house cigar, taking in the evening.
Let's go. Tony's living the life, man.
Listening to y'all. Sorry you got knocked off there a little bit a while ago, but just enjoying it and just had some random thoughts. Of course, we're all getting ready for the Super Regionals tomorrow.
And, yes, sir.
I love it that Vanderbilt's playing at 11 o'clock. I love this day baseball. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Baseball is
spoken like a true person who had to stay up till 1 to watch the last game.
And actually, I went and sat with some friends of mine in another section from where I was sitting at, and I told him, I said, buddy, I said, I'm just about getting wore out on this. He said, no, we're going to stay to the end. And you know, I've done that, and many of us have done that four or five times, that might be a stretch, but at least two or three times in the last 5 years on these, you get those 8 o'clock baseball games, mm-hmm. It never fails. It seems that it, you either get caught up in a rain delay or extra innings. It's unbelievable. Well, and the next thing you know, you're getting home, you know, at a 5 hour later drive back to the house.
What was it? You had the LSU game. Was that 2015 or 2016?
I think 2015 we had a Florida game that went late one night, and they had a major rain delay, and they extended it over into the next day to conclude it. And, you know, I've been down Hoover with a major rain delay. I've been to Omaha with a major rain delay in 2014 or 2015. I mean, it's a lot of them, but you're going to get those type of things in baseball.
Absolutely.
Like, you get them in football. You remember that, was it Arkansas LSU 2018? They win like seven extra
overtime.
If you're a Vanderbilt fan, you'll know that game because that was deciding which bowl game we were going to, because I had to watch that game. Me and my friend, we just beat Tennessee, I think, and we were going to go out on the town. We did not go out on the town. We had to watch that football game.
You're right.
I had to look up.
I tell you what, all of us that love the sports, you're going to have those things, and if you love the sports, you love it. Guys, I was thinking about this. We've got Julio now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, back in March, I forgot who was his name. Who was this guy that they went and got who was a second teamer off of, I believe, the Texans? Wasn't it Marcus?
Are you talking about a wide receiver?
Yes.
Oh, you're talking about Josh Reynolds? From the Rams.
Right, there we go. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we go draft a guy. Then we draft a wide receiver.
Yep, fourth in Louisville. Traded up for him.
Yep.
And then you go get Julio. I mean, I just get confused on each time, this is the guy. This is the guy. This is the guy. And we all know Julio Jones' stats and what he brings, but I'm not trying to be negative, not trying to be pessimistic, but we went after Peerless Price years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We went after Randy Moss years ago. We've done this a lot of times with guys in their prime, and they don't ever seem to pan out when they get here. I don't know if that's going to happen here. I don't know, but we've had this year, quote unquote, three other wide receivers that's going to be the number two to A.J. Brown, and now we've got this situation. So I just hope this works out. I think everybody's looking at it being the missing piece, but still.
Well, I'll tell you, Tony, that the Randy Moss comparison is very fair. Randy Moss, when he came here, he was, I think, going into his 13th season. Julio Jones going into his 11th season. Randy Moss, when he got here, was 33. Julio Jones is 32. By February, the end of right around the Super Bowl, he'll be 34. 33.
All it takes is, Bruno, you know this too, one pulled hammy, we've got a problem.
Hey, man, those wide receivers and pulled hammies, and it's like butter on bread.
They're synonymous. They go together.
Yep.
Especially.
I was just sitting here thinking that thought, and just, I was going to get y'all's take on it as well as, you know, And here's the thing, let's not forget this. All the negative talk of the Titans last year, and that you can call it negative, whatever you want to call it, was the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We've got to fix the defense. And I hope we can get all the offensive weapons we can. But if you, I'm old philosophy, old traditionally. If you don't have a good defense, they will always score one more than you.
Yeah. And that's, I think that's what the Titans are hoping they're going to do, is that they're just going to outscore every team. I mean, that at the end of the day, there's not much that I get. There's nobody, and there's no way anybody could say the defense is fixed or broken right now, because there's so many different pieces that are in.
I can tell you what makes me the most skeptical is the fact that no one's taken accountability for what's going on in the past, like, year or two. Like,
yeah.
Is it Vrabel? Is it Bowen? They're just kind of pointing the finger at
that's
nobody.
Not good.
Like, someone just say, who was running
the coordinator? Who's calling the shots? He is. I am. He is. You know, it's crazy, guys. It's great.
It is. Hey, Tony, I appreciate calling in, buddy. We're up against the heartbreak here.
I love to listen to you every evening. It always makes my evenings go by from 4 to 6. I love it.
Thank you so much, Tony.
Appreciate it, Tony.
See you, man.
Have a good one, Tony in Nolensville. Always appreciate him. Always appreciate you. We got a whole second hour coming up. Don't go anywhere, right here on the Afternoon Stretch.
WPDQ
Frankspro. On air and online, sports radio WNSR.
ABC News, I'm Mark Remillard. In Washington, there's word that a bipartisan group of senators working on an infrastructure bill have reached a deal. In a statement, the bipartisan group of 10 senators said the group has, quote, worked in good faith to reach an agreement on a realistic framework. President Biden is in Cornwall, England, setting his agenda ahead of the G7 summit. He announced the U.S. will buy 500 million doses of COVID-19 vaccines from Pfizer and donate it to the global COVAX program. Earlier, the president met with UK's Prime Minister Boris Johnson. ABC's Maggie Rooley has more.
They've been pretty obvious with how they feel. Boris Johnson today calling Biden a breath of fresh air. He couldn't kind of contain his excitement, even going so far as to say, well, I agree with him on pretty much anything. And it's not just Boris Johnson. We also heard from the president of France, who said he's so excited to have America back on the world stage, so excited to be working with America again to tackle some of these big problems.
The G7 summit kicks off tomorrow. This is ABC News.
G'day, mate. As an Australian, I'm a croc expert. Crikey, get him away from me. I mean crocs, like the footwear. And as a croc expert, I have to say I like Foamies from Skechers bloody better. Because Foamies have that stylish, trendy look, plus Skechers' world-famous comfort. All for a price that's down under the competition. Skechers is a comfort technology company, and Foamies have comfort innovations your whole family will love. Foamies are ultra-lightweight, water-friendly footwear that are flexible and breathable. Perfect for kicking it by the pool, grilling on the barbie. Or comfy enough to go on a walkabout. Plus, only Foamies come with fits and features like ArchFit with podiatrist-certified support. And max cushioning that feels like you're walking on big, puffy marshmallows. And Foamies are perfect to keep you cool this summer or warm in the winter. Which is great because it's actually winter in Australia right now. Good on you, Skechers. So get yourself some machine-washable Foamies by Skechers and don't get bit by crocs. He's a mean fella. Find Foamies at Skechers.com, a Skechers store, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
For the ones who know that a little late is always too late, and that the clock doesn't stop just because you're missing a part, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry. And our KeepStock inventory management solutions help ensure you have the right stuff in the right place at exactly the right time. Visit Grainger.com/KeepStock to learn more. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is serving up new summer hours and a fantastic summer menu. Open Thursday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kitchen Notes at the Omni Nashville Hotel is the only place downtown for breakfast or lunch. Start your day with biscuits and gravy or some pimento toast, or order a Tennessee patty melt or some chicken hash for lunch. Open Thursday through Sunday from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. Kitchen Notes, located 5th Avenue, downtown in the Omni Nashville Hotel.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Welcome, Angie McCartney.
When he'd come home, Jim would say to him, "How are your bowels, son? Are you eating properly?" "Oh, Dad, you know, I'm a beagle. You don't ask me about my bowels." "Oh, it's not that funny. Come on."
We didn't expect to be talking about Paul's bowels this morning.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio. Welcome back to the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio.
Oh, my God! Okay, it's happening!
It's the afternoon stretch with Zach Williams and Bruno Reagan.
Everybody stay calm! Sure. Stay calm!
Call now on the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600.
You are an unstoppable good idea machine!
Now, here's Bruno and Zach.
And welcome back here on the afternoon stretch. Zach Williams, Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky behind the boards here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. It's a whole 5 o'clock hour on your work, on your, what is it, your ride home from work is what you're doing right now. Hopefully traffic's not too bad. Looks like the clouds, can it just like be dry or rain the whole time?
It can't make up its mind.
It really can't because it's super humid and I hate it.
Do yourself a favor. Call in tomorrow and take it off.
He needs one. He needs one. Rudy's got a point.
Do yourself a favor and don't go to work tomorrow.
Yep.
So, don't even tell your boss. Just stay home.
Talk about the worst advice.
I told you I wanted to be a therapist.
You'd actually be really good at it.
I know.
Because he'd be brutally honest. That's what
don't
you
go
want,
to,
right?
Don't go to work anymore.
Yeah. But don't be honest with you.
Take a year off. You have how much in the bank account? Take a year off.
He's going to tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear.
Live way below your means and get a box. No home. Don't work.
Gentlemen, I'm tired of being bullied on this show. I have a trivia question for you guys.
Good.
You know this
and
is coming
first off, good. Because now I'm going to be as mean to you as you were to me yesterday. So go ahead and ask your stupid question.
We were having a fun talk with Tony about some of the rain delays. I've been in that before. Temple, first ever game. You got rain delayed to like 1 a.m. What's the longest? How many innings was the longest college baseball game ever in NCAA history?
In NCAA history.
Hold on. I need to get the buzzer out here. Hold on.
Yeah, go ahead and get all that queued up while I stretch for time here. Can we at least get somewhat of a hint because we're going, I mean, is this more relevant or more like we're way back to the moon?
You've never heard of these teams. It's in the Division III because all this craziness happens in D3.
But what years are we talking? Like more relevant years or more like past years, very past?
That's a good question.
Like are we going back to like 1936 here?
2011.
Okay. So we're in the realm of possibility.
No, it was this year, actually. Look at that.
Oh, it was this
2021,
year?
2021, yeah.
Oh. Zach, just shoot for the stars, man.
Hold on. So repeat the question one more time for any of the listeners. And by the way, if you want to be a listener and call in, 615-844-5600 is the number to call in on the F&M Bank phone line. When Ray and I inevitably get it wrong, you can tell us what the right answer is if you want to jump in. Feel free. Three lines wide open. Well, so ask the question one more time.
All right, guys. There seems to be some misconceptions. In 2009, there was a college baseball game between Texas and Boston College. The total time was 7 hours and 3 minutes. How many innings was that game? It was the most innings ever played in a college baseball game. Yep. 7 hour baseball game. How many innings was this baseball game?
It has to be, I'm going to put it in the neighborhood of 22.
22? I love that guess. Ray, this is like The Price is Right, where you can like go up one more.
Okay. So do you want to go right answer, wrong answer for the buzzer, or do you
want
to?
Yeah, do you want me to get the buzzer? Yeah. Do I deserve the buzzer with 22?
No, I want to hear both of your answers. I don't want to give Ray an advantage.
Okay, 24.
24. All right. Answer, 25.
25,
just so barely.
Play the Price is Right horn there, because we were wrong on that. And that's
if I ever, if I'm in a baseball game and it goes over 20 innings, I'm calling my mom and I'm going home. Mom, come pick me up.
That is tough, man.
That is stupid.
There it is. I remember the Titans game against the Dolphins. Ryan Tannehill was the last year Ryan Tannehill was on the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. It was, I believe, the season opener, right? It had that weird weather delay in the middle of it. It ended up being like a 5-hour game or something. like that. That was no fun. Long game. It's hard, man. Long games, like especially baseball. Like baseball, I love the sport of baseball. Don't get me wrong. But man, if I'm not the broadcaster, or I'm not the one playing in it, or if I'm not doing something, if I'm a fan, I'm leaving after a while. I like Tony saying that he stuck around in that Vandy game and had friends around and they all stuck it out.
True commitment.
I'm missing that trend. I feel like we saw this a lot more a few years ago where there would be rain delays, and I mean the baseball teams would just have like jousting competitions or like fun, super fun stuff. I feel like I haven't seen that in a few years. I wonder if it's just gone out of style.
I've seen it in high school.
Yeah.
I see it a lot in high school stuff, but like professionals, you know, they don't want you to do it, I guess. I don't know. Lame. But see, once again, that's why my answer yesterday with my dream job in sports would be being like an owner of a minor league baseball team, because that's the kind of fun stuff that you can implement. Like you have so much more creative like space to grow and do different stuff on days like that, you know, when those kind of things happen. Or like one here when the power goes out and we just have to figure it out.
You guys have to figure it out. What did I do, Zach, when the power went out?
You sat here. Didn't lift a finger. It didn't help nobody. Really enjoyed it. And then we go to break here, and you can check it out on my Twitter, at ZachariahW on Twitter. You and Ray start grappling.
Can we at least admit that if I tried to help, it would only make it worse? So
you kind of were in the way, though.
I know. Tech kept hitting my chair, and I was like, I should probably get up.
All right, let's go to the Evident Bank phone line. We've got two lines extra open right now if you want to jump in. 615-844-5600. Jeff of the Borough. Jeff, what's going on, buddy?
What's going on, Zach? How's him hot dog station?
Well, are we talking gas station? Because bad.
Well, you can get it from a hot dog cart. That might not taste too bad. I'm just wondering, when Bruno got them hot dogs, did he put any mustard and ketchup on them? I wonder how old that was.
Nope, I eat them plain.
Oh, you do, really?
I'm a plain guy, yep. That's extra carbs on a hot dog.
I didn't know. I thought maybe that ketchup and mustard was so old, it probably kind of made you sick and eat that. So.
No, I'm not an animal. I just eat it plain.
Oh, that's fine. That's no problem. Some people do, some people don't, but I just want to ask you guys, are you ready for the Super Raiders tomorrow, Vanderbilt? They're going to win two straight and go ahead and go to Omaha? What's going to happen?
I am very excited. It gives me something to do on Friday, because Friday we got Super Raiders. We got a stacked weekend of sports, at least for me, for a summer.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to 2-0 ECU. Are you kidding me?
It's going to be early, though. You can get up at 11 o'clock in the morning. Think you can get up? Or can you get off work?
I'm going to get up at 7. I'm going to get up at 7. I'm going to eat a banana, maybe some peanut butter, and then I'm going to go to bed. I'll wake up at 12, miss half the game, get on Twitter, and just start tweeting. I might have a drink, too. We'll see.
I think Brittany, everyone thinks you probably sleep till like noon.
They could be kind of right, I think.
It's showing me on TV, though. Just DVR it. You can watch it later.
Yeah.
DVR it, watch it later.
The most irresponsible sports host imaginable.
Well, I want to say, though, just make sure to eat that peanut butter. Don't feed to no bear. You hear about that woman in the Smoky Mountains fed that peanut butter to the bear? Did you hear about that?
And did the bear attack her?
No. She fed peanut butter to the bear, and the park rangers caught her, gave her a citation, $100 fine.
$100? No shot. I'm never paying that. I'm running. I would rip that up.
Feed the peanut butter. Well, they could have fined her as much as $5,000.
Never. I still have unpaid parking tickets in this city. I don't pay that stuff.
But they did. They fined her $100 plus a large processing fee to process the payment and everything. You know, process it.
I don't think I have to worry about bears in Tennessee, though.
Smoky Mountain.
Smoky Mountains, you do.
Are we in the Smoky Mountains?
But that's Tennessee. You said Tennessee. You didn't say Nashville.
My bad. Well, I don't even live here. I live in Clarksville.
Which there's probably bears in Clarksville.
No shot.
I bet you there is.
It probably is, but now I did want to ask you guys, what do you guys think about the, I know you're a big football fan, what do you guys think about the expansion of the playoffs? One guy called up Feinbaum today and said it was just trying to stop Alabama. He said Alabama's just going to keep on winning, so don't make much difference. So y'all think they're trying to stop Alabama from winning? Or?
Before I answer, I'll just clarify, I'm not a big football fan. I just so happened to do it way too long. But to answer your question, I don't think it's. I think Alabama is going to win regardless. If anything, this is going to give them a bye or an easier game and make it harder on the other people. This is just because it's gonna replace bowl games that don't make any money, and it's gonna up the other games like New Year's Sixes that were maybe the New Year's Sixes kind of fell off with the playoff. Now they're just gonna be a part of the playoff. It's gonna be more money.
That's well, literally it. They wanted to go to 12 teams. They said something about the about that. Of course, one model was having all the big conference champions.
Yep.
Getting in a team from the smaller conferences and have some at larges. Then another one was saying something about that it didn't matter if you won the conference at all, you'd be picked or whatever. So I don't know how they're going to figure out how to. But they did say, I was reading, they did say that they're not going to change anything this coming year or next year.
2023,
so it'd be,
yeah.
So it'd be 2023 before they would actually change anything. Of course, you know, TV is a big part of this.
Yeah.
No matter what the, you know, what channel. But I'm with Nick Saban as far as that goes. But when the playoff came out, the first few years of it, he said the playoff not hurt, but made the bowl games less, and I agree with him. But now if you go to a bowl game and win it, it's not good enough for the fan bases. Do y'all think that's true?
I think it will. Yes and no. And the reason why I say that is I think you have the bowl games that are going to get eliminated. I mean, it takes away some of those, and it takes those games that'll be replaced and actually be viable games, right? Like, the games that are going to replace now are going to be, they're not just know-nothing bowl games. They're actually going to be games that we're going to be watching, as opposed to what it had been, which it was just another bowl game, you know, another Tax Slayer Bowl or whatever the hell you wanted to call it.
The Independence Bowl. Worst bowl game in history. Boycott that bowl.
You know, like Shreveport on a weekend.
I'm glad you know about Shreveport, Jeff. Or I'm sorry you know about it. It's the worst place I've ever been in my life.
My relatives live there.
Oh, tell them I'm sorry. There's like 5 casinos there and like 10 drugstores, and that's it. The field had like we found 3 snakes on the field the day before we were playing. We were like, this is the worst bowl game. We might as well just throw the rest of our games if we're going to get these type of bowls.
But I will say this, Jeff, about the expansion. I'm glad that they did it to 12 and not just did it to 6 or did it to 8 to where people are going to say just more and more. I hope they just – I mean, still there's going to be the 13 and 14 teams saying, well, we deserve to get in.
Yeah.
But – you know, it at least they went ahead and gave it a big enough number to where they're not going to expand it anymore for a long time, I would think. But
well, what I think is going to happen is they're going to expand it to so many teams, whatever they figure that number to be. And then I think in the future, I don't know when it'll be, but I think in the future that the bowl games will go away. There won't be no more bowl games at all. It'll just be the playoffs, that's all. If you don't make the playoffs, well, your season's over with, just like 1AA, FCS, they've got playoffs.
I hope not.
That's all.
I hope not. I hope it.
That's why I believe it's great. Because what it is, the more you expand the playoff, the more you expand it, then the bowl game's going to get less. And I don't care about this bowl game getting rid of stuff. All y'all want to get, y'all, what do y'all want, 5 bowl games and playoff? How many bowl games you want? They say now there's too many, so well, what's the difference? I mean, that's what they say now.
I hope no college football playoff people are listening to the show and steal my idea, because that would be stupid and you have to pay me money. Anyways, what if we did like a regional sort of thing, like South, Midwest, Northeast, Pacific, South, Pacific, North, and we did like, so you played 10 games and then you got seeded out of the Power 5 and maybe the Group of 5 too. And then so after 10 games, you play a two-game regional tournament with like the Alabama getting a bye. And then after that, it's just like a 6-man bracket. I feel like, so they went from BCS to playoff. Like, they have to change the system rather than just add to the playoff. There's no, plus, you like, if they add to the playoff, it'd be college teams playing into the spring. It'll be a fall and spring sport.
On Twitter, how many games would these college kids to play? I mean, they're playing 12 now. And then you get in, like, with the playoffs now, the way it is now, you're playing 12, then you got, you know, like I say, a championship game, that's 13. Then with 2 playoff games, that's 15. So how many games? I mean, we all know Zach Williams don't think the NFL plays enough. We know he thinks he
wants, that's true. Zach Williams is wrong.
So we know that. We all know that. He wants the NFL year-round in 1 week, and our team will go right back to it. So we know that.
I'm waiting for a response from Zach.
Yeah, yeah, Zach, your response.
Go, Zach.
Ray. Turn them off.
Don't do that to Jeff.
No, look, I think the NFL, I think there is a problem. First off, the college football playoffs need to get expanded. I think we all can agree. 4 games.
From 4,
it's,
yes.
It's a little silly. Like I said, I'm glad they went to 12 to where, like, hopefully that's their limit. They say the tree stops growing at 12. That's just what it is. The NFL, though, Like, you know, if they, if they add a regular season game and they take away a preseason game, I'm happy. Like, but if they're adding season games and keeping preseason games, then I don't want that. So you got me wrong there. I like spring football, though.
Just take away the preseason because you don't know when NFL players want to play in preseason.
Uh-huh, of course.
No, they don't want to.
Of course. Even though the Titans today, the preseason schedules came out, and the Titans' first preseason game is against Atlanta. So revenge game right off the bat for Julio Jones.
That's a nobody cares. We ain't worried about what Julio Jones does against Atlanta.
It's news, Jeff. What do you want me to do, not report the news?
What's that now?
It's news, though. You don't want me to report it?
I understand. I understand it's news. I understand that, but still. I understand that, but I mean, anybody, the only thing would be bad, say if they play in the preseason, which I guess they're going to do, is say he goes out there and gets hurt, now then it'd be bad then.
But, okay, but if I go out with my own hard-earned money, Jeff, and I buy you a ticket to go to the preseason game, are you going to go?
Hell no, I'll go, I'll stay home. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to watch that stuff. And I mean, I'm not going to do it. I mean,
man of principle.
Somebody pays me to go. I mean, I'm just not going to watch it. I don't have no. There's just no value in for me to do it. I just don't. You know. I mean, I just didn't watch a high school or college game before I watched it. I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm not saying there ain't nothing wrong with it. It's just, you know, it's just my personal opinion. I wouldn't mind watching a regular season game. If somebody give me a regular season game, I'll go with the Steelers or Bears or somebody like that. But yeah, then I'll go with something. But I mean, preseason games, no, I don't care nothing about no preseason. I mean, that's just like, you know, that's like Canadian Football League preseason or whatever. They've only got 8 teams in their league, so I mean, it's just like that. I mean, it don't, you know, it's just the way it is. I mean, it ain't to say that. But to me, Zach, this is what I feel about you, okay? You say baseball season is too long.
100% too long.
So that's what I understand. His baseball season is too long.
162 games, Jeff? 162 games.
That's how many games he wants football to play.
It was 154.
I know, and that's too many. See, I think we can all agree last year in the COVID season for baseball, we enjoyed less games basically. Because you know what it did? It took the whole, like, there's even a phrase for it, the dog days of summer of baseball, where those wins matter just as much as they do in October or now. It's just, there are people out there that I think are fanatics and are a little weird that watch every single game of their favorite team.
I agree.
That's hard. I can't believe people do that.
I don't do it for football season.
I mean, honestly, the average fan doesn't care about those games that are happening in June and July.
The only thing about baseball is if your team is in the division race or going to the playoffs, then you care. If not, you don't.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's the thing about baseball.
But if it's an 80-game season like it was during the COVID season, or whatever, 84, I forget exactly what it was. If it was that short, then that makes those matchups so much more important right away, and then we all care.
Yeah.
So baseball would be better if they did it that way, I think. But they never will, and the purists are going to yell at me, which is fine.
The thing about it is, though, they're not going to do it because it's less money. Why don't the NFL play 10 games then? Well, they can play 10 and be getting fine. They don't need to play 17. They don't need to.
Yep.
They need to play 10. It's just simple. I mean,
it might be. You know what, Jeff?
I'm going to say you're being hypocrite saying one is too long and one ain't enough.
No, wait. I think actually baseball would be able to charge more money for their TV broadcast because then the games would become so much more important. Every other game would be more important that they could have higher TV ratings.
You're going into economics.
It might not. It's all local TV now. I agree with you saying that.
You know, that's more people would pay attention if it wasn't the dog days of summer.
Yeah.
But Jeff.
Hang there, guys.
I appreciate your call, buddy. We got a full packed house right now. We got one line actually just opened up because of Jeff. If you want to jump in on the phone, 615-844-5600. First, we got Bob. Then we got Buckeye Dan. So one spot left if you want to do it on the F&M Bank phone line. Let's go to Bob in Bellevue. What's going on, Bob?
Hey, what's up, Zach?
How you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Just real quick trivia while I'm talking, you all can come up with the answer. There's only two men's college basketball coaches that are living that I know of that have repeated in men's college basketball. So when I finish here, just let me know who those two guys are. Two coaches that have repeated. So I think I stated the other day in
repeated championships,
national championships.
Yes, repeated. There's only two men coaching basketball that have repeated in men's college basketball that I'm aware of that are alive.
Okay.
So the other day I called in the top two teams in the current playoff format are averaging beating teams 3 and 4 by over 20 points a game. Now, Alabama won the championship a few years ago as a number 4 seed, but normally 3 and 4 are getting crushed. So I like the playoff expansion, but are we really going to like it when we realize that teams 9, 10, 11, and 12, if they win any game at all, the next game they're just going to get crushed? I mean, you're going to see some huge, probably 20 and 30 point blowouts.
That's what I've been saying. Yeah, we're gonna see some like plus 500 underdog, plus 700, 800 underdogs in gambling odds going up against Alabama, and that's like this will be a good like 4, 5, 6. Who knows how many years we get of this expansion? But then they're gonna have to, you know, I think it's gonna go that way. They're gonna have to change something because then the games are gonna be meaningless, quote unquote.
I mean, you're gonna probably have 5 or 6 blowouts where you turn the game off in the third quarter, literally.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen LSU. We've seen Oklahoma mainly. They go to the playoff and get hammered on a regular basis. Notre Dame, it's a normal tradition for Notre Dame to talk about how great they were 40 years ago and then lose by 3 touchdowns.
Almost lose to Vanderbilt.
So we're going to see a lot. You're going to see a lot of Notre Dame type games and a lot of those Oklahoma games.
But what it does, Bob, what it does is that it finally gives us that what if answer. Because that's what we've had for so long. What if the Coastal Carolina got in and they found a way to win? We finally get to see that with some of these teams that, you know, maybe they do deserve it. Just their schedule's not as tough because they just don't play in as tough of a division or not division, but conference. They don't play in that tough conference, so they don't get that automatic bid up, a la what we were talking about with UCF not too long ago. Well, you know, everybody wanted to know if UCF really could have beat Alabama that year.
And the answer is they could not. But anyway, those teams are just not that good. You can tell how good a team is. If they have a smaller stadium, they're not winning squat. I mean, you've got to have money. You've got to have money, a big stadium, a big conference. I mean, I remember Boise State years ago. They'd go undefeated year after year. I don't believe for a second they could have beat the top teams, and I don't think these teams can either. So, I mean, I guess it'll be fun, but you're still going to have Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State. When it's over, you're not going to have Coastal Carolina or UCF. Maybe win a game, but I don't see it. But, I mean, I guess it'll be fun. I really don't think so. I'm lying. It's not going to be fun. We're going to turn the TV off in the third quarter, and we're just going to wait for Alabama to play Ohio State or Clemson for the championship, like always.
I mean, maybe it'll be funny watching them just get absolutely peppered on TV. For a half. Maybe there should be a mercy rule.
Maybe.
If Coastal Carolina could beat Notre Dame, I would enjoy that because I hate Notre Dame. I would love to see Notre Dame get upset by one of these little rinky dinks. I would like that.
Yeah, the upsets are going to happen, and we're going to have fun.
Just watch
them
in the normal season when they play Bowling Green.
Yeah, that'd be great. So, who are the two basketball coaches that have repeated in college basketball?
Now, this isn't back to back, right? This is just in their careers.
Yeah, back to back.
Back to back. The one that pops off immediately that I think probably only happened in my any kind of paying attention would be Florida, Mike Donovan. Correct? Billy Donovan. Sorry, Billy Donovan. Yeah.
Well, that's correct, but I thought you would get the more.
Well, let me hold on. I'm not done yet. I think the other one,
the more obvious coach.
The obvious one I think is Duke. Correct, Coach K?
That's it, Coach K. Okay. Coach K and Donovan are the only two living coaches that have won back-to-back.
Yep. There you go. Look at that.
Hey, why don't we just let's expand the basketball, too? I mean,
sure.
You know, even though we've just still got the same elite teams that win it most of the time.
Let's go to international colleges.
I know that Baylor was a first-time winner this year, but I wouldn't get used to much of that. You're not going to have a lot of first-time winners. It's just not going to happen.
So. True.
Yeah, I was going to say Bill Self. Anyway. I thought he was in there.
No.
At Kansas.
No. Bob, we appreciate your call in, brother.
See you, buddy.
I'm going to ask Buckeye Dan if you could just hold over. We're running a little late on a break. We got to hit it. Let's go ahead and take that break right here on the afternoon stretch.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
Woods Equipment Company in Nashville would like to take this opportunity to salute all of our young men and women serving in our armed forces. To those who risk their lives daily to keep us free, we say thank you. A strong, safe community starts with the concern and involvement of its people. That important message was brought to you by Woods Equipment Company. That's Woods Equipment Company, located at 600 Davidson Street in Nashville. Call today at 615-256-5639. That's 615-256-5639. Woods Equipment Company.
Hello again, everybody. This is Hope Hines inviting you to become a part of a special morning of golf and fellowship to benefit the wonderful mission of the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home. I'm honored to host the 26th annual Hope Hines for Kids Golf Classic on Monday, June 14th. It's all happening at Nashville Golf and Athletic in Brentwood, presented by Cool Springs Financial Group, the George Shinn Foundation, and Tennessee Steel Hauler. To learn more about this tournament and the Tennessee Baptist Children's Home, visit TennesseeChildren.org.
And we are back. Zach Williams here with Bruno Reagan, Ray Dosky behind the board. This is Zach Williams talking.
Hey, that sounded good, man. You're a co-host of the show. Look, if I'm ever gone, you got to be ready, man.
Oh, dude,
call it up.
Believe me,
we cannot let Ray do it though.
Yeah,
I can't. Know. His ego's already too big. We can't let him get there.
But everyone still likes me, though.
Everyone likes you, Ray. I promise. Everyone likes you. Welcome back here inside the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios here on Nashville Sports Radio for the afternoon stretch. Let's go ahead and go to the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600. We've got two spots wide open if you want to jump in. Our resident Browns believer, Mr. Buckeye Dan in Hermitage. What's going on, Buckeye?
Oh, I'm just trying to, make kind of square away what I've been hearing for the last 5 or 6 minutes. Let's see. So only the Blue Bloods win national championships in basketball. Other than Baylor. Baylor's an aberration. Who was Baylor playing? They would have been a first-time champion.
Gonzaga.
Who was the defending champion since we didn't have one in 2020?
Virginia.
That'd be Virginia. Not exactly a household name in college basketball. And who did they play to win it? I believe that was Texas Tech.
Right.
Again, not exactly a high school game. So I don't know where Bob's getting this notion that only Blue Bloods win national championships in basketball. Also, he said teams like Boise State could never beat the big guys. I seem to remember a Fiesta Bowl on a Statue of Liberty play where they showed Oklahoma who their daddy was.
And you're kind of proving my idea here, Buckeye, of why I've always said for so long, I think it's unfair that we see the top four teams, who are the same teams over and over again, get the chance. And then every time, and Bob kind of did it too, right? As I said, we finally get that what-if game where the little guy, we'll say the little guy who gets in, finally gets a chance to upset. And you know what? The day can come, and the little guy gets curb stomped and destroyed.
And I'll defend Bob.
At least they can't say they didn't get their shot.
Exactly.
I agree. I'll defend Bob a bit though, to where that Boise State team was a rarity. Very, very rare. That's like one of those teams that beats the 16 seed in the NCAA like tournament for basketball. The last team I can think of that was like that Boise State team was the UCF team.
They could have done that 2 or 3 times in years leading up to it, but they never got the opportunity.
No, when I say Boise State, I meant that run of Boise State.
They got Georgia in the Sugar Bowl and lost by about 50. No, that didn't happen. So you never saw Hawaii get another shot, even though they had some good years. Also, y'all was talking about the worst bowl games. Come on, guys. Y'all showing your youth and inexperience here.
How so?
The Astro Blue Bonnet Bowl? How about the Garden State Bowl?
I have to give experience over to the person that's on the show that has been in these bowl games. And so I take Bruno as a Vandy football player. I think Shreveport just kind of sucks more than all.
I'm a little lost. What are we even
at? Independence Bowl. At least the Independence Bowl's got some history behind it. Is it always an exciting game? No, but a lot of bowls can claim that.
Oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
I'm also saying that it relegates the bowls to like, you know, not of no interest. Well, they just do what they did with the playoff. They incorporate them. And that makes several more bowl games relevant again now, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's what I think. That's the answer to the never-ending bowl game, right? Because every year there's a new bowl game that pops up.
Well, they just need less. There's no reason 5 and 6 teams or 5 and 7 teams should be in bowl games. Like, you should not be like, if that ever happened with our team, we talked about it. We would turn it down because it's APR, right? So if you're smarter, you get in, basically. Graduation rates, all that. But I think Mississippi State was a team that turned it down. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if they turned it down or played. But a lot of teams, it comes to that, oh, should we take the practice? Should we turn it down? There's just too many bowl games.
Right.
Yeah, there's too many for sure.
A little bit ago, something about you don't want any preseason games in the NFL.
So that was me. I'm saying if they're going to add more regular season games to the NFL season, if they're going to go past that, then they need to take away a preseason game every time they do it.
I don't like them adding the 17th game in the regular season because, for one thing, it throws the math all off. It was just fine the way it was. But
Dan. Nothing changes. It's still the same. I mean, other than the number goes slightly up, the same exact rhetoric that we had in week 17 of last year is going to be the same in week 18, correct?
Okay, here's what changes. You don't have an even number of home games and road games. Now they have to do what they're doing. They're going to alternate. This first season, the AFC team gets the home game against an NFC team. Next year, it will be the other way around.
That is dumb.
That's only the beginning of what gets screwed up. I can go on and on about how dumb it is for them to do, and it's nothing more than a money grab. Nothing.
Right.
Well, yeah, that's business. Do you think they should have just added the second game?
It's away because you got more likelihood of somebody getting injured and not being in the playoffs.
So, yeah, like what Bruno just asked, is to quell your feelings about it if they end up adding the second game onto it to just even out what you're talking about for the home and away?
You mean 18?
It's coming.
Even more of a money grab. No, I wouldn't like that either.
Well, it's going to be a money grab regardless.
Well, I agree with you. 16 is the money.
From a fan standpoint, how the preseason games are no good. Okay, well, the preseason games are not being played for the fans anyway.
No. But when ticket prices are the same as regular season, it's not.
You know who the preseason games are being played for?
The third and fourth
the
string.
The team owners.
The third and fourth string
trying to make the team.
Yeah, dudes on the team are the only.
Well, I'll buy that, but you got to go a little further than that with the thought process here. They're being played for coaches. It's the same thing you're talking about there, but it's, you know, ask a coach if he wants more, you know, fewer, and or if he wants to do away with the preseason games. I think you will find very few coaches want to do away with the preseason game.
I don't think so.
That's a chance for an in-game, you know, to see what your people you're trying to decide whether or not they're going to make your team are going to do in a real game experience.
I see what you're saying, and I can understand that. But see, then I go back to this COVID season that we just had, and I didn't see a drop off from one team.
Yeah,
I didn't see a drop off from one team for what they did.
That's something I've always tried to say about the pros is that most of these guys, albeit there are the quote unquote project guys, like Adam Kuhn, for example, with the Titans, just
right.
He's not going to be ready to, he's going to benefit. But for the most part, these guys could drop in, have a 2-week camp, and play. Like, they just need to get into the book for a bit. Some guys do need more because some guys aren't too smart. They're football players. But
what drop-off are you looking for here? You mean drop-off in the performance level? Of the
yes. Like, these guys are professionals, and they do they could do this without training camp.
Talk to the Chiefs offensive line coach. Ask if he would have liked an opportunity to maybe do a little more evaluation.
Funny story. I went to minicamp with the Chiefs off Andy Heck, or Heck Coach Heck. I went to his camp. And I'll tell you one quote that he gave me that I don't want to just say everything private we did, but a verbatim quote is, "God, we all hate practice, right?" Like that, like he said that. It's just part of the deal. So if he has guys, I mean, he has one of the best units. He had Austin Ritter, he had Schwartz. Those are guys that don't need camp. They could just come in and they could play. He's trying to get guys like Nick, the backup center.
But what I'm saying here is, hindsight's 2020, you realize it, but looking at the way things worked out for them in the Super Bowl, you just think they would have really liked to have some better backups.
Yeah, well, okay, but you're also without
line in that Super Bowl. But that's what cost them the Super Bowl.
Well, yeah, and everybody understands that. But without the say they had the preseason and the three extra games that the backups would have played a couple more reps in, that doesn't change what's still going to happen. That, I mean, the injuries are what made they had so many injuries on their line. That late into the season, they had guys up there that had just never played. And Rimmers, who was one of the backups that was filled in, had done the same thing just a few years ago with the Panthers, where he came in for the Panthers and played bad as well. So, I mean, I don't think a preseason would have helped the Chiefs line out to where we're saying that Jason Pierre-Paul and that whole Devin White and all them would have got less pressure. I think that was going to happen no matter what.
Just more depth.
There's another dynamic involved in this too. When you play preseason games and everybody gets a better chance to evaluate their players, you get players that are, don't make a team, but you're saying, I can use him. But you didn't have so much of that last year because you didn't have the same winnowing out process of the players.
Well, and that's what they have, the OTAs and the camps and different things.
The football team?
Say that again?
Have either of you ever coached a football team?
No.
I've been a part of a team. I've never coached one.
Right. Okay. Well,
have you?
Have you? I'm very confused.
Have you coached a football team?
Yes, I have. Have you ever coached a?
Hold on. What's the level you've coached a football team, though, Dan?
Junior high.
Junior high.
Nothing major.
Right.
Nothing major.
Now you asked if we coached the basketball team.
It's all about evaluating players and putting them in slots: starters, backups, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think we get the gist of what you're talking about.
The idea is, it's going in from a fan's perspective. Fans want what fans want. Fans are short-sighted.
True. I'll give you that.
Fan, so I know when the Browns are playing, I'm real short-sighted.
Yeah. No, I really believe...
This year, I get to beat the drum and say the window is wide open now. Let's get through it as many times as possible and all. Anyway... I will quit bending your ear and everyone else's who's listening. And I thank you and have a nice afternoon.
Hey, Buck, I did. We appreciate you calling in, buddy.
Ray, I know you want to say something.
Yeah, what do you want to say?
Ray's my thoughts.
He's crying to say it.
No, the way I see the NFL going is I think it's going to be 18 games. No preseason games. I'm going to see a lot of inner scrimmages between two teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see practice is going to happen from like training camp. It seems like that's where it's going.
And here, I just want to make my point out real quick. I think he's talking about from the level he is, where in high school and college, evaluating everybody is a much more substantial thing. Like at a school like Vanderbilt, you have to find like the best guys switch out a lot. Like there's a lot of turnover in the rosters. In the NFL, a lot of evaluation is semantics, and it's not done by the coaches. It is offset by the whole other side of the organization, which is the scouting department. Coaches, like he mentioned, Coach Heck from Kansas City, who I so happen to be coached by for a bit. Coach Heck does absolutely nothing with evaluation. He gets the guys in, and the evaluators tell him, these are the guys we're going to assign on the team. Guys like Austin, guys like Mitch, guys like Eric Fisher. Mm-hmm. They're going to make the team. They're on the team. Like the only decisions they have to make are probably two or three guys who are going to make the team as young guys. A lot of it's semantics in the NFL. Like when we see if you watch Hard Knocks and you see those fourth team guys get those quote unquote important reps, if they balled out, Let's look at that that guy from Cleveland, Buckeye Danica, maybe say that guy who had the whole homeless story. He tried out. It was a really good story. Scores a touchdown special. He balled out on special teams that whole camp. Got cut. Yeah. A lot of the NFL rosters, there's what, 57 now? About 40 roster spots are taken at the start of camp every year. And then they're trying to figure out, what 15. So the whole meme, I guess you could say, that players is like training camps for those 15 roster spots to figure out who's going to get them, right, and who will earn them. I think you can just do that in 2 weeks. But for the rest of the 40 members of the team, they're ready to play ball. That's just my whole monologue on the thing. Being in that system, mm-hmm. albeit for a short time, I'm not going to have someone call and be like, you never made the team, but I was in that system for that system for a short time, and that's just how everybody viewed it. Go ahead, Zach.
Well, no, I was just listening. I mean, it's the argument of needing preseason games. I see the idea that you want to have a warm-up game before you play.
I would say just do one.
Well, I kind of see what Ray's saying, where you invite another team down that you want to practice again, the one that you're not going to see in the regular season.
I love, and players get behind that. The preseason games are like going through the whole semantics of games. You only need to do that once just for the new guys. But if you can just line up and get in the situations you want, like a team knows what they're bad at. If you're bad at red zone offense, you've known that after a week of practice. 2 weeks.
Exactly.
You're bad, and you just want those red zone reps, and then you'll be ready to play. You don't want to, you can run six inside zones and just confirm, okay, we're good at inside zone with this group.
Instead of having like a full preseason game itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, the starter's playing one series, and then the other guy's having to pick up the slack. It kind of sucks. I just look back on that Tampa Bay Hard Knocks with Jameis Winston. Their third-string quarterback got hurt, and Jameis Winston goes up and starts talking trash to the backup linemen who are forced to play this whole game, when they're clearly not ready. It's just an interesting dynamic. And, there's a conversation to be had on what's the right way, but we can talk all day about what's quote-unquote right and what's the smartest. Follow the money.
Yeah. The NFL, when you look at
the players are going to bargain for less preseason games. The owners are going to bargain for more real games, and that's the way it's going
to
go.
And you always are going to have, you look at preseason tickets are they're pretty similar to your regular season prices, right? Like you're not paying much of a difference to go see a preseason game, which we all know.
Yeah, I would never pay to watch a preseason game.
honestly, I'd like to know how many people actually watch preseason NFL games. When I say watch, not turn to the first few drives and then turn away. I'm talking about watch from quarter one to quarter four, whistle to whistle. Actually watch preseason games and think that they feel like they had taken something away from it.
I would say all an NFL team needs is 3 weeks of camp. Maybe four. Four. So one in shirts, and then at the end you go to pads. Then you have the actual quote unquote start of camp. And this is with OTAs and everything still in, right? So you straight up hit camp. I think two preseason games is enough. Maybe one that's not even televised. Like just get the guys the work that they need, because it is important to have those. Buckeye Dan had a point. Coaches do like evaluating actual tape.
Yeah.
I'm just arguing in the sense, like, we know what Eric Fisher is going to do. We know what Mitch Schwartz is going to do. We know what Mahomes is going to do. Mm-hmm. We don't have to evaluate too much of those guys. Mm-hmm. But I would say two games is enough. Maybe one off-aired, one aired right before the season.
Yeah.
Play one game, and then we go into the season.
Go ahead, Ray.
No, I was going to say, like, with the setup they had last year for COVID.
Yeah. Yes.
Where they went from, like, what was it?
Player's dream.
Like, 3 weeks of training camp. No preseason games. Did you think that was effective?
Like, I stand by my argument. Yeah. For the players, the Buckeye Dan's right. The coaches will want more, but I think the players, for the most part, can handle it. If you get paid to, and if you can't handle it, they will fire you and find someone who can. Mm-hmm. Easy enough.
Right. I just think you look at it from the other way. Like, look at baseball, right? They have spring training, and it's a long time. They go separate areas. Nobody watches spring training to really watch spring training. Going to a spring training game is terrific. It's fun. Anybody who's ever been to a spring training game knows that the players interact with you. You're actually down there, like you can see the players, talk to the players, and you can, it's a more relaxed feel. But then you look at the preseason, and the preseason is set up as an actual NFL game. There's no real talk or anything, the players to fan reaction. You might have a little bit, but for the most part, it's the same kind of thing as if you went to a regular season, week 12 game. It's the same kind of setup. So I think the NFL just does it in a bad way. If they could make preseason more fan interactive, I think it would be better.
That would be sweet. I know fan interaction isn't like the most important thing in the world, but it For these fanatics,
it gives a reason.
Yeah,
it does. You know, and that's the thing with spring training. Baseball spring training is fan interactive.
When it comes to these ownership versus like player associations, if the NFL keeps vying for options that get the fans involved, we've seen the fans will turn on players instantly. So
right,
they'll be like play. You know,
and the more interaction in football is better though. Look, you know this very well from the XFL.
People loved it. It made money, man.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have believed it. Guys, I was anti-XFL going into it. I was so hard anti-XFL. I was in the XFL, and I was like, what am I doing here? But they, Oliver Luck and that crew up in Connecticut had some genius idea that they figured it out. I mean, every team had their own thing, except for maybe L.A. and New York. Those major markets flopped. But in teams like St. Louis, we had the numbers in St. Louis. Houston had the great team that were undefeated at the time, and they were playing it up, and they were able to get 25,000 butts in that stadium. DC had the beer snake. I mean, it was just like within less than a year, using the fans, they had team cultures.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Right.
It made no sense.
And then even the television broadcast, you had the camera, like right after a player would have to talk on the sideline. On the
interview, that was sweet.
You had the open betting, where the betting lines were being talked about on
air.
That
was sweet. That was sweet.
You had the cameras would follow the team into halftime and go and see y'all in the...
That was sweet.
That's great. You know, yeah. And so if preseason, if the NFL could do something like that, where they make more engagement, where the fans are not just
outside regular, of Hard Knocks, yeah.
Yeah,
you know? That's what I was going to say. Like, alter a Hard Knocks, because I know that would shake up things.
That's probably why they don't do it, is because they sell those rights to Hard Knocks. Right. So it's...
And that's one team, you know? And we watch it because the drama's fun of it, but if it's the Raiders or whatever,
I didn't watch
team,
the Raiders.
I think I watched a little bit of the Raiders because of the Antonio Brown situation.
I saw Antonio Brown like talking about Big Ben, and I was like, I'm not watching this.
But if it's not your favorite team, you don't really care as much. But if they were able to do that with every single team, and every single team you could have your fanship into it, I think preseason would matter more, and then I would understand it more.
Well, the best one I ever saw Hard Knocks was the Houston Texans against my Washington Redskins.
I love that series when they had
that scrimmage before their game. All that
against D'Angelo Hall.
Yeah, D'Angelo Hall. Yeah, was probably the best.
And then Hall gets cooked.
Yeah,
The Houston season was really good. J.J. Watt versus Matthews. Jake Matthews, I believe his name was. Had his dad there watching. It was that was a good season. That's what fans need. But if you don't have HBO,
exactly. That's my problem. That's my problem with it. And I think if the NFL could be smart, then you can make money with it. That's the thing that kills me. There's opportunity for the NFL to make more money off their preseason. They just don't do it. Well, it's like this thing in the pass by, which I feel like if you're going to do that, then why would we want to pay attention? Why would the players want to play?
I think, well, obviously the NFL is such a big business. It moves naturally. The bigger something is, the slower it moves.
Mm-hmm.
The XFL was small enough to where we can make these crazy decisions on the fly, right?
Right.
I think the NFL is going to follow the XFL in a lot of things. Extra point, maybe in the coming years, maybe as soon as like 3-4. Because I think that stuff is just, I think it's just groundbreaking. I think people want to see, and I think the XFL proved it. You're just going to have to give the NFL time, seeing as it's one big business of 32 multi-billion dollar businesses to see the fruits of the labor.
Exactly. I agree. Well, we're running late here. We need to go ahead and hit a break. Back after this right here on the Afternoon Stretch.
The NBA playoffs are here, and you'll be in hoops heaven betting all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. There are so many exciting matchups, and FanDuel is taking that excitement to another level because new and existing users can bet risk-free throughout the playoffs. New users can get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Plus, once you have an account, you can bet one same-game parlay risk-free every week. And if you don't win, you'll get up to $10 back. Basketball fans, now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. Just sign up with promo code WNSR to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free, exclusively on FanDuel Sportsbook app.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
You have a 90% chance of surviving a lightning strike. You have a 98% chance of surviving a shark attack. You have a 99% chance of surviving a snake bite. But you only have a 50% chance of surviving a crash if you aren't wearing a seatbelt. Your truck may be tough, but a seatbelt makes it tougher. Buckle up in your truck. Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. Scattered showers and thunderstorms move in throughout the afternoon. Temperatures near 85 and 50-50 chance of showers overnight tonight. Mostly cloudy, lows near 70. On Friday, continued 50-50 chance of showers and thunderstorms. Temperatures upper 80s. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner. Sports Radio.
All right, welcome back into the afternoon stretch. Bruno Reagan, Zach Williams here, Ray Dosky behind the boards here in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studios. Coming up on the end of the show, I know. But, hey, by the way, it came out officially that the reason why Julio Jones picked number two was it was 1 and 1 equals 2. And then...
no way.
Two, yeah. What was it? 2 times 11 equals 22 for Derrick Henry. How does that make you
this
feel?
This is over dinner with A.J. Brown.
That's awesome. That's never mind. I was going to say that's stupid, but the fact you said that they had dinner and that's what they came up with, that's awesome. Never mind. All that's right. Awesome.
Another one in the books, boys and girls. Thank you so much for listening, watching, however you did, commenting, all that good stuff. Appreciate you calling. We appreciate you. Bruno, good job. Ray, good job. And remember, if nobody's told you, I love you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow for Friday. Tomorrow's Friday, baby. We're back in it. We'll see you right here on National Sports Radio.
Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Sonia, and it's time to put 2020 in the rearview mirror as I tell you all about Bongo Java. Nashville.